Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you glory. We give you praise. Daddy, we want to look into your word of life the next few minutes. Jehovah, I pray that you will speak to our hearts in the name of Jesus. Lord, the rivers of living water, let it flow. Let the heavens open and let it rain upon us. A rain of revelation, a rain of understanding, a rain of your blessings in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, at the end of the service today, let it be said that we have been with Jesus. Let it be said that we have seen Jesus in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Please open your Bibles with me to John chapter 1. And we're going to read from verse 35 to 38. John chapter 1 from 35 to 38. I'm trusting God this will be a short exhortation because there's something I would love for us to do before we close today. John chapter 1 from verse 35. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. I pray that you will follow Jesus if you have not been following him. And if you are following him, I pray that you will continue to follow him in the name of Jesus. And they followed Jesus. And verse 38, then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, "What seek ye? What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" Amen. That will be our text for today. But a short prelude to our text. In John chapter 1, the Apostle John began to introduce Jesus to us. And in his introduction of Jesus, he said to us that in the beginning, John chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So in introducing Jesus to us, the first thing the apostle tells us is that this Jesus that I'm telling you about is God. And when you read further down, John the Baptist begins to introduce Jesus to us again. It says, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." He introduced him to us. When you read, I think it's the 29th verse. It says, "He is the Son of God, is the Messiah." All of this time, Jesus has not said anything himself. And the first words of Jesus to his disciples is recorded here in our text today. And the first words that Jesus spoke in this text is, "What seek ye?" The question I have for us today is, why am I here? That will be the title. Why am I here? Or better still, we can say, why are you here? And when I say, when are you here, I don't mean why are you here in general. I mean, why are you here right now? Why are you in church right now? What is the purpose? What is the reason? Why did you wake up in the morning and against every odd, you made sure you were here? Some might be because you had to be here, or you were made to be here. You know, like when I was growing up, it was not a question of if I was going. It was a question of when we get there, because I didn't have a choice in the matter. So my question to us this morning is, why am I here? Or why are you here? Jesus asked those disciples that, the first set of disciples that followed him according to the account of John. He said, what are you seeking? Really, why are you come to me? Why are you here? That was the question he was asking them. So as a disciple or a follower of Jesus, that seems to be an important question for us to ask ourselves. Because that was the first thing that Jesus said to these disciples. When you read through the scriptures, you will see that everywhere Jesus shows up, there was usually a multitude, usually a crowd. A lot of people followed Jesus. Matthew 13 and verse 2, the Bible says, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. When you jump to Mark chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, and he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered a ship, and he was on the boat, and the multitude was by the seaside. In Matthew chapter 14 and verse 14, the Bible says, and Jesus went forth and saw what? A great multitude. Everywhere Jesus went, there was a great multitude. And everywhere he went, whenever the multitude gathered, certain things happened. Jesus responded to the multitude in Matthew 14:14 with compassion. The Bible says he was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. One of the things I can tell you right off the bat is everybody, when you come gather to him, when the multitude gather to him like that, everybody got what they wanted. The Bible says when they gathered unto him, he healed their sick. It didn't say he healed some of their sick. So is anybody sick here today? Because you have come to Jesus, receive your healing in Jesus' name. He healed their sick. In Luke chapter 6, verse 19, if the other one was not clear enough, the Bible says, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and healed them all. Somebody say all. Included in all is Adekoye Sonny. Thank you, sir. Included in all is you and you and you and you and you. So as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, a disciple of Jesus, if you are one, if you come to him, he will heal you. Amen. After Jesus left and the early church started, we see the same trend. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, as the disciples gathered, proclaiming this Jesus, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon them, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 6, now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. The Bible says, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither any of them that ought of the things, neither said any of them that ought of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Even after the death of Jesus Christ, multitudes were still gathering because of him. I just came back from Nigeria, attended the special Holy Ghost service. At the special Holy Ghost service night, there was definitely over 1 million people. Maybe two. Maybe more. Am I kidding, sir? Am I kidding, sir? They were both there. Multitudes are still gathering together because of this Jesus. All over the United States today, you go across from us, there's a church over there, people are gathered. You go over there, people are gathered. You go up the street, people are gathered. All over the city, people are gathered because of this Jesus. There is something about this Jesus that needs to sink in to all of us so we can get the full benefit of this Jesus. It is my prayer today that virtue will flow from him to you. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Because the text, the scripture we just read, it said, and a multitude gathered unto him, and virtue flew out. I went from him, out of him, and it healed all of them. There is enough virtue in Christ today to heal everyone under the sound of my voice. In the name of Jesus. And finally, Acts chapter 5 and verse 16. Acts chapter 5 verse 16. There came also a multitude out of the cities, round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, everyone. I like it when scripture qualifies these things with all, or like it says here, everyone. There is no way everyone will be at the same level of faith. So there might be somebody here today that is saying, you know what, my faith is not big. That is true. But Jesus is able to touch you. Amen. If you will let him. And I believe that will happen today. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. So what were they seeking for? All this multitude. Why do they yearn for his presence? Some of the reasons is because, number one, Jesus is compassionate. Jesus is compassionate. The Bible tells us, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Friends, the one thing about Christ that I want you to know today is his compassion. You split the word into two, compassion. Christ is very passionate about you, Amarachi. He's very passionate about you. He wants the very best for your life if you will let him. The problem is never with him. The problem is with what? With us. The problem is with me. If God is true and the things I am reading in scripture are not my reality, then I must be wrong. The Bible says, let God be true and all men liars. He saw the multitude. He saw them. He saw that they wanted something, but they can't have it. What is it that you want today that you cannot have? What is it that is lacking or missing in your life today? There are many people that they are lacking in relationship. In your relationship, things are not working out quite as well or quite as they're supposed to be working out. And they all came out. They said, we have heard about this Jesus. Many were brokenhearted. Many have been disappointed. Many were hopeless. So they came to this Jesus. And the Bible says, when he saw them, they didn't realize how scattered they themselves were. You know, it's kind of like what Pastor Gloria just shared with us today. He put things, right away, he put things in perspective for any right-thinking person. That your children trust other things and other people more than you. That's a sobering thought right there. The people did not see themselves, but Jesus saw them the way they were. He saw that they were scattered. It was a multitude. They were together, but Jesus was seen through the crowd. He knew that even though they were together like that, they were not together with one mind. Even though their faces seemed like they were all looking the same way, but they didn't have the same problems. They didn't have the same issues. And he had compassion upon them. May the Lord have compassion on somebody here today. And his compassion led him to do certain things. Number one, because of his compassion, he brought healing to them. Matthew chapter 4, verse 24. Matthew chapter 4, verse 24. The Bible says, and his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick that were taken with divers diseases and torments. And those which were possessed with devils. And those which were, what? Lunatic. And those that had palsy. And he healed them. Why? Because of his compassion. You know, this is a broad range of situations here. He said, all of the people that were sick were brought to him. And then he went further, he said, with diverse diseases and torments. Amen? He says, and those that were possessed with devils and lunatic, crazy people, crazy in their minds are not together anymore. He said, it does not matter the kind of problem that was brought to him. He took care of all of the diseases and all the problems. I want you to lift up your right hand to the Lord today. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, you know me better than I know myself. Touch me, Lord. Heal me, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Just say a word of prayer for yourself right there. Just talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. You might need healing in your emotions. Your emotions are always running wild. Or you might need healing in your finances. Or possibly you need healing in your body. The Lord is here today and is here to heal you in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. His compassion moved him to heal them. In Mark chapter 1, verse 41. Mark chapter 1, verse 41. The Bible says, and Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. This is a leper that ran to Jesus and said, if thou wilt, I can be made clean. Jesus said, I will. Be thou made whole. Be thou made clean. Listen to me. The Bible says he touched him. You don't touch a leper. A leper was an untouchable person. It might be that your situation has caused your closest allies to cut you off. Because a leper, back in the day, lepers were cast out of the city. Lepers were not allowed to live in the city. If by adventure you touched a leper, you had to do cleansing for 7 days. But Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the I am that I am, the one who was, the one who is, the one that will be forevermore. He said, the case that everybody says is untouchable, I will touch it and I will turn it around. May you receive the touch of God today. I said, may you receive the touch of God today. In the mighty name of Jesus. What moved him? Compassion. Jesus, moved by compassion, touched a leper and cleansed him. So that man that could not associate with people anymore was able to go back to the city and he was able to dwell amongst the community. Matthew chapter 20 verse 34. Matthew chapter 20 verse 34. The Bible says, so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight. And they followed him. Listen to me. These were the two blind men that were crying, oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The Bible says he touched them. And their eyes were open. Some people, the reason they are not making progress in life anymore is because the god of this world has blinded them. The god of this world has blinded them. Some people have no vision for life anymore. Just living day by day. Just living day by day. May the Lord restore your sight. May the Lord restore your vision. In the mighty name of... You will remember the story of Samson. The story of Samson. When the enemy got him, what was the first thing they did? They plucked out his eyes. Why? Because if you can see, you can still defend yourself. If you can see, you can still escape. But once vision is taken away, some people are seeing, but they are not seeing. Eyes opened, but seeing nothing. The Lord will restore sight today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Friends, the reason I'm talking the way I'm talking this morning is because I know that the Lord is set to do a new thing in our midst. Amen. God will take you where you have never been before. You will begin to experience God at a level you have never imagined before. In the mighty name of Jesus. Listen to me. Our scripture for the month, Ezekiel 36 verse 11. Ezekiel 36, 11. It says, I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit. And then it goes forward to say, I will settle you after the old estates and will do better unto you than your beginnings. You know, the greatest enemy of excellence or progress in life sometimes is success. I was reading, Dickie gave me a book. I started reading the book, and the first thing that caught my attention there was a statement. It says, what you have done, you are better than what you have done. You're better than what you have done. It means anything you have done is no longer a potential for you. It is an accomplishment because you've done it. But there is a potential inside of you that is greater than your achievement. Anything you have done, you can do better than that. You are better than what you have done. So, like Bethel has released his mixtape. There's better where that came from. Praise the Lord. Whatever you have done is what you have accomplished, and you can do better. It says, I will do better for you than at your beginning. Than at your beginnings. And you shall know that what? I am the Lord. I need to hurry up quickly so that we can move on. His compassion moved him to do deliverance. Remember the madman of Gadara. The madman of Gadara. So some people came to him because they understood his compassion. Other people came to him because they want to have an encounter. A perfect example of someone seeking an encounter is the example of Zacchaeus. How many of us know about Zacchaeus? In Luke chapter 19, you read from verse 1 to about the 9th verse, the Bible says when Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was coming to town, he went to his close aides to find out his itinerary. And he ran ahead of Jesus. He ran ahead of him and climbed a sycamore tree and was hanging on the tree so that when Jesus comes, he can see Jesus. The question I have for you there is, to what extent are you willing to go to have an encounter with Jesus? For Zacchaeus, he ran ahead of everybody and went to climb a tree. And guess what? He had an encounter. Because when Jesus got to that tree, he stopped for Zacchaeus. He said, Zacchaeus, be of good cheer. Come down from the tree. Because today, I am coming to your house. Salvation has come to your house. I am coming to dine with you. He wanted an encounter with the Messiah. And he was willing to do anything and everything. But he knew that if he joined the crowd, he would miss us. You know why? He was a short guy. He was not very tall. I can tell you, I'm taller than Zacchaeus. I'm taller than Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is no match for me. He was a little man. He was a little man, but a determined little man that wanted to accomplish success in life, and nothing could stop him. He wanted an encounter with the Messiah. There was another guy, a leper. In Matthew chapter 8, you will remember from Matthew chapter 5, the Bible said that Jesus went to the mountaintop, the Beatitudes, where he taught his disciples and all of these things. And as they came down from the mountain, the Bible says this leper ran to Jesus and worshipped him. Why? He needed a touch from the Master. I pray that somebody will run to Jesus today. I pray that you will run to Jesus today. Because the people that we are reading about today, they ran to him and they got their miracle. Jesus, the Bible tells us, Hebrews 13:8, it says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know what that means? It means whatsoever he did before, he's able to do it again. If he did it for them, he can do it for me. If he does it for him, he can do it for her. Why? Because he is not partial. He's not partial. Another reason people gather unto him is because they know he is consistently consistent. He never fails. He never fails. Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 6. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6. The Bible says, be strong and of a good courage. I have good news for somebody today. God will touch you today. I said Jehovah will touch you today. In the name of Jesus. It says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go before thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake you. I say it by the authority of the word of God today. Jehovah will not fail you. Jehovah will not forsake you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hebrews 13 verse 5. Say, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never. If the Bible you are holding is your own, underline never. Underline, it is comfort. It is something you must remember. He says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. We are the ones that forsake the Lord of his own. He said, I will not leave you and I will not forsake you. Some of the people that came to Jesus were people that just were outright tired of their situation. You know, one of the things I have seen in scripture, if you are okay with your situation, God is not going to upset your balance. Did somebody hear that? If you are okay with your situation, God will not upset the balance. Some people have settled for where they are. Amen? The question I have for you that I want you to ask yourself after you have settled like that is this the best God can do? That's the question I ask myself. When I look at my life and where God has brought me, I ask myself, is this God's personal best? You know, in basketball, they say his personal best is he's done this many shots in a game. So ask yourself, because the Bible says we are his workmanship. We are his product. We are the works of his hand. Amen. So if I'm the work of the hand of God, then the question becomes, is this all God can do? You see some people broke and busted. Is that the best God can do? Broke and busted? Sick and weak and weary? Is that all God can do? Rejected and dejected? Is that all God can do? Oppressed and in chains? Is that all God can do? I want you to know today that where you are now is not God's personal best. Hallelujah. There was a word the Lord gave to me many years ago. The Lord said to me, he said, where I am today is not the final determinant of my destiny. Because where I am is a bus station. So where I am, you can't look at my life today and judge me based on this. Why? Because I'm on a journey. Amen? It's like when I was going to Atlanta, so we hung out in Baton Rouge. I said, oh, you know where we're going. No, you don't know where I'm going. I'm just stopping in Baton Rouge for the night. I'm continuing to Atlanta in the morning. So I want to encourage somebody today, where you are is a bus stop. Where you are is not the conclusion of your life. God can do better and God will do better. I say God will do better. Jehovah will do better. In the mighty name of Jesus. Some people, they come to him, part of the multitude, just for worship. You know why? Because the Bible says in Psalm 16 verse 11, the iConnect crew told us that earlier. It says, in his presence, there is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Friends, you will never know a greater joy. In fact, you will never know any joy but in the presence of God. Because there's a big difference between happiness and joy. Happy is what you get when you get new things. Remember when you just bought the car? Or when they just bought the car for you? Whichever way it goes. As long as the car is yours, that's okay. Even if it's a gift. Somebody paid for it, but they gave it to you. You know, that's what you feel. Happy. You're happy. You're happy. In fact, the story is told of a man that was not thinking too straight. He had bought a very pricey car, you know, kind of like equivalent Bentley in America, but not a Bentley though. It was just, that's the way he saw it. You know, so he parked the car outside of his home. You know, I went to sleep at night, you know, and it was when the remote thing just came out. Not many cars had it at the time. I'm not that old though. You know, so he will wake up. He went to bed, say 10 p.m. By midnight, he was awake. Pop, pop, pop. The wife was like, honey, what are you? He said, I was just making sure. I'm not sure if I locked the car. Came back to bed. 2 a.m., he woke up again. Pop, pop, pop. He said, what are you doing? It's crazy. Loco. El loco. Praise the Lord. But joy, you want joy, you will only find joy in God's presence. Joy is only in his presence. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to pray now. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. If you read it, it's about the wise men. The Bible says the wise men, I want the choir to please come. Thank you. The Bible says the wise men, they came looking for Jesus. They said, we have seen his star and we have come to worship him. We have seen his star and the only reason we're here is to worship him. Friends, when you worship him, he will respond to you in the name of Jesus. Every multitude that have gathered in reverence of his presence have gotten a miracle leaving that place. He healed them of their torment. He removed their pain. He removed leprosy. He removed insanity. He removed lunatics. He took care of their problems. Took care of their problems. He gave salvation to them. Can I tell you something this morning or afternoon? The one thing that is between you and your best or next greatest thing in your journey of life is sin. Somebody told me something yesterday that I was thinking about it for a long time. He probably doesn't know what kind of impact that statement had on me. He said, for everyone that has refused, listen to this, for everyone that has refused to commit to Christ, they are waiting to commit a sin that will conflict with that commitment. And he asked the question. He said, what sin are you waiting to commit before you commit to Christ. Let's rise to our feet. What sin are you waiting to commit before you will commit to Christ? With every head bowed, every eye closed, Brother Moses, please give me the anointing oil. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to pray very quickly. Please, let's get everything ready. I want you to talk to the Lord. Please talk to the Lord. God is going to do a new thing in your life today. Amen. But you must first of all decide, are you for him or are you against him? And there is no demilitarized zone. It's either you are for him or you're not. If you are not sure whether or not you are for him, then maybe you need to rethink and make a commitment today. Is there anybody today? You say, Pastor, I've heard you, and I want to commit to this Jesus. Jesus is a good God. He's a loving and a caring God. The master of the universe. The creator of everything. And is here today. The Redeemer is in Zion today to redeem you from the clutches of darkness. You're here today. You want to give your life to Christ. I invite you to come. I want the ministers to please come forward. Ministers, please come forward. We're going to do something in the next 5 minutes. The next 5 minutes. While we were in camp in Nigeria, the general overseer told us to bring an anointing oil. He said, one per person, you must not bring more than one. Nobody must bring two, everybody must bring one. And that oil, he said, the Holy Spirit said to him that some people's heads are rejecting blessing. As you are anointed today, your head will never reject blessing again.
Amen.
There are some people, it's like the water you put plastic over something and pour water. The water does what? It just runs over. The plastic will not never get soaked. You know what? The water just runs over it. Some people's blessings are just running over them, not going into them. But from today, as the Lord lives, your head will no longer reject blessings. In the mighty name of Jesus. But I don't want us to waste our time. If you have not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, let's take care of that. And then we can move on to the anointing. Anybody. You wave your hand. Nobody. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Ushers, please start getting ready.
I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you.
Please help us to do this quickly. Please, make sure all the ministers are engaged.
Everything I give,
withholding nothing.
Say we surrender all to you.
1 minute. For just 1 minute. Because you have been anointed now, I want you to prophesy unto yourself that my head will not reject blessing. Everything that is mine, I receive now by faith in the name of Jesus. I call it forth, those things that be not as though they were. I call it forth, I call it forth, I call it forth in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Jehovah. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jehovah, for it is done. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you.
Thank you.
Jehovah, we give you praise. We give you glory. Lord, we bring the service to a close in the name of God the Father,
Amen.
God the Son,
Amen.
And God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, let the light of your countenance shine upon your people in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, favor us all around. Let your glory be made manifest in the mighty name of Jesus. Forward ever, backward never.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The yoke of stagnancy is destroyed.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every yoke is destroyed.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
The oppressed shall go free.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, blessed Redeemer. In Jesus' precious name, I have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Let's share the grace together in fellowship. May the grace